It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Friday and welcome back. As you heard in sports and maybe heard early today or even last night, the word on Johnny Gaudreau and his brother. What a tragedy. What a stupid tragedy. And, you know, there isn't really much to discuss about it. I mean, at least there's no debate. What happened is just awful. And to think about that family's pain and anger, it's just really hard to fathom. Paul Hamilton with me on the Wester Hotline. You know, Paul, like, I don't know what we can really say about it, but it's an awful loss for hockey, as Gaudreau was, I mean, a fun player and also very good going back to when he played in college.
Yeah, I never had the opportunity to meet him. But, yeah, from anybody I've spoken with, they talked about what a good person he was. And not just a good hockey player, but a good person. And he really hadn't known his wife for all that long. I think I read they met each other in 2017 or 18, something like that. And, you know, then they, you know, wound up getting married and have young children now. And they chose Columbus, which was a surprise to many when he chose Columbus free agency. But I was reading that he and his wife thought that would be a great place to raise their children. It's not that far from home, which is where he was when this accident happened. And, you know, he's never regretted it, even though it hasn't gone as well as maybe he would have liked it to. He's never regretted it and was actually, you know, I had read that, you know, he had talked about really putting forth a great effort this summer to get back to the player that he felt he could be because he thought he could be better than he had been with the Blue Jackets.
Yeah. How awful for his wife and young children. I mean, can't even imagine.
And his sister's wedding was supposed to be today.
Right, right.
That's why they were there, because both brothers were going to be in the wedding, and that, of course, is not going to be happening, but that was supposed to be today.
Two brothers, two sons, just taken out so senselessly. I read that the guy, I don't know, Paul, if you don't mind. Because,
no, I don't mind because I'm furious about it, and people should hear this.
The driver was trying to pass two cars at once on a two-lane road in New Jersey. I think I can picture it, not the road itself, of course, but I've driven there. It's really narrow, and I don't know, maybe that's irrelevant, what I remember about driving there. But the guy tries to pass two cars at once. You've seen it. You've seen people do this. It kind of makes me crazy. The second car up front drifts left to give the bicyclists room, Johnny Gaudreau and his brother, and then the driver who's passing the two cars cuts right to try to go like basically between the two cars and cut through on the right side then and makes contact with the riders.
Just, and he admitted it turned into a road rage because he had five or six beers. Obviously, that he's going to be inebriated, and he was trying to do that. And he didn't see the two bicyclists. He didn't see the Gaudreaus.
Right.
He saw the car in a two-lane thing move to its left just to give the bicyclists room. He got mad. Admittedly, these are his words. He got upset. He thought the guy was trying to stop him from passing, so he went to the right to try to go by him. It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, this road rage stuff and driving while inside, the whole thing just sickens me. But it's like, who do you think you are that you, all right, well, you know, I'm going to get mad at this guy, so now I'm going to go over to the right and try to pass him. And he's got, and probably to go to the right, he's got to go off the road. somewhat
that's right.
to do that. So now you're – I know you've got five or six beers in you, but now you're going to go off the road to try to get by this guy because you're mad at him.
I mean, as I get older, maybe this is just everybody – it just – you feel gradually just slightly less sure of yourself on the road, maybe. Other cars doing aggressive things, sort of you react to them maybe more than when I was half my age. I'm always noticing cars trying to pass me on the right now. And, you know, it's one of the things you learn when you learn to drive is to pass on the left. But it seems like every time I drive home on the 290, somebody is blowing by me on the right where cars are merging and it's harder to see that forming behind you. I don't know. We just all need to calm down a little bit, right? I mean, slow down, calm down. Where are we going? It's so important.
And people are getting worse. They're getting more upset and more belligerent. It's not getting better. It's getting worse.
Well, a terrible loss for sports and for hockey and most of all for his young family and their extended family, Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Gaudreau, killed in this accident yesterday. Paul, you know, hockey, it's pretty soon. How soon?
Well, we have the tournament, which we always carry, Brian Colesiel and I, and then Brian's a teacher, so Pat Malacara will join me for the Monday game. But it's the, you know, the Prospects Challenge, and that starts on Friday the 13th. So the 13th, the 14th, and the 16th. They don't want to compete with NFL Sunday. I understand that. So yet they have one day off, and then they play on Monday the 16th. And then it's training camp. Last year, training camp started on the Thursday. They had a Sunday preseason game. They haven't announced the date yet. I'm wondering maybe if they might start on Wednesday because this year they have a Saturday preseason game. It's going to be one or the other. That training camp will start on that Wednesday or Thursday, and off we go. I mean, it's hockey, so they start preseason games.
Right away.
It's like, here we go. Yep. And this team will wind up in Germany for a preseason game at the end of the month. So they will go there with more than just the 23 players who are going to make the team. Yes, they also will play two regular season games and have to cut down to 23, but I would doubt they were just going to have their team made and just go with 23 guys over there. So they will continue training camp over there. The preseason game will be the Friday before the regular season game. So they'll play that against Germany. Then they'll have a week, you know, to have training camp and practices and whatever they need to do. And then it's the two games against New Jersey before they come home to open their season in North America. It'll be their third game of the year at home against the LA Kings.
And that's October 10th, I think, the Kings.
That sounds right.
So
it's the Thursday, whatever that date is.
Okay, yeah. So 2 weeks from tonight, that's the Prospects Tournament. That's when it really starts. And then training camp right after that, as Paul said. How are the vibes for you with this team right now as it gets close?
Well, it was interesting because, you know, the players knew that Don Granato was gone when we talked to them on locker cleanout. And you could see the whole organization was on the same page. We had already talked to Kevin Adams. I think every single player that we spoke with had the same thing to say that Kevin Adams did. It was almost word for word. So the organization is on the same page with what they want to do. About five or six players were there when they introduced Lindy Ruff. I remember Bryson and Clifton and Tuck and Krebs. I'm missing a few here, but that were there. So they were there when Lindy Ruff was announced as the coach. I know Lindy Ruff obviously has been in contact with these guys quite often to let them know what they're in for and what his thoughts are. I mean, he's when he already had sat down to talk to us, he had already gone through a lot of tape with the coaches, so I think he was fairly familiar with the Sabres, which he already was anyway. I've told you this before. I would talk to him as coach of the Devils. He'd come in and we'd chat, and he had a lot of respect for this Sabre team. And he wasn't talking in an interview or anything that was coach speak. You know, he would say, this team is a lot like this Devil team I'm coaching. He goes, they're fast, they're young. He goes, they got a lot of good players. He goes, I like this team. He goes, they're right on the cusp of something. And I think that's one of the reasons why, remember when he said in the press conference, I was trying to figure out why I would come back to this. And then I thought to myself, why wouldn't I? And I think he likes the players that he's coming to coach. And you know, the coach, the players that all talked about, they want accountability that they have to bring both themselves and through the coaching staff. They didn't feel it was there. Buckle up, boys, because when one of you guys are sitting in the press box when you thought maybe you wouldn't be, I hope you have those same thoughts.
Ruff and Kevin Adams did a Q&A with fans. I'm not sure if it was just season ticket holders or what. I was there. And, you know, you mentioned how what he said about the Sabres when he was coaching with Jersey, what he said about them in the same way, like a continuation of it that night, was you play like the Sabres played, you get figured out in this league. You know, teams figure out how to stop, you know, most anyway. There's Connor McDavid, but most good offensive teams, hit my words, not his, but that was his point. And he might have been thinking of his own Devils team, then now his ex-Devils team as well, as sort of the same thing because of those similarities you mentioned. So this team will play a different structure. We can be sure of that.
Absolutely. It'll be more structured defensively. You know, you talk about the power play, and Tage Thompson was so good on the power play the year he scored 47 goals. He was over 20 on the power play, 22 stays in my mind. I haven't looked it up right this second, but he had quite a few power play goals. And then, you know, they just last year, they just kept on, well, there's Tage. Well, Tage isn't open anymore. There's guys in the shooting lane. As you're trying to force pass it to him, the pass is getting picked off and going down the ice. And, I mean, when Thompson was open, he'd rip it, and they would get the occasional power play goal. But it seemed like there was just, you know, Granato didn't have an answer to, okay, Tage is now what? And you could see Power and Dahlin struggling out there. The guy we want isn't here, and there's no plan B. And, all right, we might try to go over here, but that's not working. And that's the thing. If teams obviously are not going to give you Tage Thompson forever. They spent a whole season giving him to you. And nobody really had figured it out. Well, they figured it out the second year that, you know what, Tage Thompson's not going to beat us. See if somebody else on your team can. We'll give them a chance, but we're not going to give Tage Thompson any chance to beat us. And that's what I think they have to figure out, that, okay, there has to be more than Tage Thompson on your power play. Dahlin has to be better on them. I think Dahlin's a great player. I think Dahlin's very good. But when, you know, they come out with rankings on the NHL Network for defensemen and Dahlin's 11th, he needs to be better than 11th. You know, when they drafted him, they didn't draft him to be the 11th best defenseman in the league. I believe there's more from Rasmus Dahlin, and a lot of where I think he's not good enough is on the power play. And he does make some really nice plays on the power play, but he also gives the puck up quite a bit too. And a lot of it is trying to force it. They got to stop trying to force it. They have to figure out, all right, we have plan A. If that's not there, plan B and plan C, and they have to be good plans. And that's where I think, you know, Lindy Ruff is going to step in.
And that's a huge area for the Sabres if they want to finally get back to the playoffs this year. Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schoep here, Bulldog, is off, and he'll be back with me on Tuesday. So the overall here, I mean, the playoffs, of course, are the goal. That's pretty easy. It's not a hard one to figure out, a team like this, especially having it been so long since they've made it. Better than 50-50, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. There's so many ifs in the equation, and some of them, I think, have a good chance of coming true. I don't think all the ifs, quote ifs, are going to come true. I don't think none of them will come true. I think, you know, I still think they need a top six forward. I think they did a great job in rebuilding their bottom six. I think they're going to be much tougher to play against, and I think with the players they're bringing in, they are going to be a better team. But are they going to be a playoff team? Well, if Thompson's closer to a 47-goal score than a 29-goal score, if Jack Quinn can stay healthy, I am totally convinced if Jack Quinn is near healthy, he will score 30 goals in this league every year. I think he's one of the smartest players they have. I think he's got a great shot. I think he gets himself in areas where goals are scored. But the if, can he stay healthy? Can Samuelson stay healthy? Can your goaltender repeat what he did last year? Is there more out of Benson, who maybe is going to get that top six opportunity as a 19-year-old? I did pretty well as an 18-year-old. You know, he got into double-figure goals, but is there more there that can take into a top six position if he's the one that winds up earning it? Is there more for Cousins? You know, what do you got? Is it the 31-goal score? Is it the 22-goal score? What's Tuck? Is he a 36-goal score? Is he a 25-goal score? In Tuck's case, though, if you get 25 to 30 from Tuck, I think you're fine with the other things that he brings to the table. He's a very good penalty killer. I think he does so much for the team. I think you're fine if you wind up with 25, 30 goals out of Alex Tuck. But those are the ifs I'm talking about. And some of those ifs, I think, are going to come true. I think Tage Thompson is closer to a 47-goal scorer than he is a 29, in my opinion. But he's got to go out there and do it. And those are the things that are going to happen. If you can get most of those things to happen, yeah, I think you got a pretty good chance to make the power play. Maybe if you can get half those things to happen, depending on which one of those things are. Your goaltending's still good. Quinn can stay healthy. And Thompson can get to 40 to 45. Well, if you get that part of the equation, I think you can make the playoffs. But there still are a lot of ifs, I think, that wind up in the equation to a team that I do think they have good players in the team. I always have. And they have a different coach now who's going to coach these players. And we'll see where that takes them.
If Thompson scores 38, I'll give it to you. Exactly halfway between 47 and 29. I'll give it to you. I'll count it as a win to say closer to 47. You know, as a player, you're not saying specific to this year exactly.
Well, I figured it out because of injuries and stuff. In his last three seasons, he's averaged 41 goals over 82 games. Not bad.
We take it.
You take 41 goals if you take those three seasons and average them out. So if he continues on that pace... There was a 47, a 38, and a 29 in there, but he never hit 82 games in any of those three. So when you do the math, you know, you're figuring out over 82 games. So yeah, if he can get to that, if he can just get to the 41, I think you're fine.
Quickly on a thought on Devin Levi playing behind Lukanen. Lukanen got the contract. One other thing Ruff said at his first press conference was, I think we have a goalie. You know, that wasn't a quote, but was asked about that by you, and he mentioned UPL. So Levi as a backup, probably. I wonder how much he gets to play. And he's important, too, even though he's so young and not the starter.
Yeah, it's interesting. If LaRuff is planning on running Lukanen out there 50 games or more, is it better to have Levi here? Or is it better to have him playing 50 games in Rochester? And then if Lukanen happens to get hurt, you bring him up and have Reimer as his backup. Reimer, remember, hasn't played in the minors since 2010, 2011. Doesn't mean he can't play there now. And I think they would be quite honest with him before he would sign. If their plan is, they said, look, we need you here as a veteran goaltender, but, you know, Lukanen and Levi are going to get the first opportunities in training camp. And he decides to sign, then, you know, he knows what's going on. You know, he knows what's going to happen. So it just depends. And if you look at what you know what Lindy Ruff did when he had Hasek and Miller. He played the heck out of them. And then he did the same thing in Dallas with Kari Lehtinen. He played 59. I looked it up, and somewhere over 60, 62 maybe, in three of the 4 years that he was in Dallas. And then he kind of split it. In the fourth year he was there. Now, he really couldn't do that other than the 1 year in Jersey where he didn't have a goaltender to ride like that. So his MO is to ride a goaltender. So I don't know. I don't know if it's good for Levi to be playing if his plan is to run Lukanen for over 50 games. And I don't know that's his plan, but that's been his MO as a coach.
To the Bills before we depart here, Paul, you've been around them quite a bit, it seems, during training camp and these few weeks here. Again, the vibes for you. Like, it's different this year with so many big names gone. What do you sense?
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of their chances.
I feel that vibe. And what stuck with me when Allen was talking at training camp, I was doing one of his press conferences, and he had talked about how he likes being at camp because he enjoys playing cards with the guys. And he enjoys, he goes, you know what, we're going out to dinner together. Now, they have nourishing meals there for dinner that they could sit there and eat, but you know, there are times where they just wanted to go out and be with each other. And he talked about, you know, how, you know, they're really enjoying being there, because it was more towards the end of camp that this particular interview happened. And, you know, what was going on. And you could see that on the field. They just seemed more, because this is the time of year I am around the Bills quite often, in the springtime and training camp and until hockey starts, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen a more loose atmosphere and buddy atmosphere and those types of things. And maybe I noticed before. So now, does that translate into games here? I don't know. But it just seems like that there is a different vibe, the way they are, the way they talk, the way they interact, the way they're around each other. It just that we get to witness. Now, we're not behind closed doors when they're playing cards and that kind of stuff, but still, they're interacting together. And it just seems like, hey, that's what Allen talked about, the difference. And maybe that what you're seeing, what they're doing now, than maybe what they were doing before. And he would be a big part of that, too. I mean, there were a lot of leaders on that team before, and now he's going to be that main leader because a lot of those veterans left and aren't around anymore. So, yes, I've seen a different vibe around the team. Whether that translates into a good team, we're about to find out in about a week, a little over a week.
You have a favorite card game yourself, by the way?
You're gonna laugh.
Okay, I'm expecting to.
My wife and I used to play Uno all the time with my in-laws and everything. Mm-hmm. I enjoy playing Uno. Mm-hmm. I really do. And it was fun to play. And you might have a little wager on it or whatever. We weren't playing for, you know, anything big or anything. But you know, change for basically. But it was, I don't know. I loved it. I enjoyed playing.
It's respectable. I'm not laughing at that. I've never played Uno with adults. I think it's always a kids game for me. Like it's the kids and I have played Uno, not in a while.
Now so if I want to continue my Uno career, I should just come over and bring a deck and play with your kids?
Well, I guess I would probably get in on it, especially if you're playing for money. Apparently, you've played Uno for money. I've also never done that. I'm certainly up for that. In your college days, or like, you know, with the hockey team, would that just be sort of not Uno necessarily? But
it was a little bit crazy.
Always, right?
Some of the stuff that went on there, because you really can't afford to lose what you're losing there. So I didn't play a lot of cards there for that reason. And I'm pretty good about, once it gets to a point, I fully believe in cards. If you're losing, don't sit there and try to win it back. There's another day.
Yeah.
There's another
good advice.
Don't sit there and try to win it back that night. It's not your night. So just understand it's not your night. Get up and do it again another time. So,
yep.
You know, it was it was a little bit crazy. You know, some of that went on, but I used to partake now and then.
When I was traveling, the 2 years I did with the Buffalo Blizzard soccer, it was always hearts. Once in a while, like blackjack on the bus, but it was always hearts.
What did they call in between? That's what we played, where, you know, you had two cards and you had to get something in between. You know, if you had a 9 and a 2, you would bet. And you had, if you got a 7, you won. But if you got a 9, you had to pay double the pot. And if you got like a 10, you lost and had to pay in.
I don't know a name. I know the game.
In between or whatever. That's what we used to play. But I don't remember the name of the game. It has been more than 5 years. So
You're forgiven. Paul, thanks for stopping by.
Not a problem. Nice talking to you again.
You too. Paul Hamilton's appearances on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Today is, I'm calling it, the last day of the off season. Let's hear your last call takes on this Bill season. What's good? What's not? What are you worried about? What are you not worried about? 803-0550, just a broad sort of Bills, even if it's, I'm not even sure it should be called a topic. Just want to touch base as many times as we can here before next week shows up and we're talking about details with Arizona coming up in week one. I'm Mike Shope, 803-0550. Again, is the number. This is WGR.
And the only way I can really kind of like look at this, you know, with a true objective perspective is this. Any quarterback that I played against who had that dual run-pass capability that I knew that no matter how deep I was as a safety on the football field, he could still put it over my head. Those are the guys who scared me to death. I remember Major Harris from West Virginia when I played against him when I was at Pittsburgh, thinking, this guy can throw it from anywhere. He can beat me at any time. I have to defend the entire field. Josh Allen does that. He does that. It's that simple. I don't know how he's number one on this list.
Louis Riddick, ESPN. This is the overrated list we're lashing back at there, I think. Oh, man, I almost made it the whole week without mentioning it. You did it to me, Zach.
I felt like we had to get it in at some point. Just a little bit.
I mean, I know people who are like just bent out of shape about that. How could he be called the most overrated? Well, only quarterbacks are ever overrated. What other player is, I mean, what, a tackle? Like, only quarterbacks would ever even be thought of. Most influential media tell you that playoff losses are predictive, like there's some flaw you have if you lose in the playoffs. I mean, this whole narrative we've been over a million times with turnovers. In the playoffs, it has actually just not been accurate at all. But you've got the combination of, like, mistakes and losses in the playoffs. So he's pretty – I mean, he gets to play golf in these celebrity events. He's pretty famous. You sort of already are pretty well on your way on a path toward, quote, overrated. Players who vote largely either don't know or would never care to – go about any process to actually analyze that. What are they like sort of trying to figure out what overrated means? No, it's just sort of like a knee-jerk reaction to that. Somebody comes to mind, and first place in the vote got 11 votes, and second place got 10. I mean, Jalen Hurts and Tua got 10, and he got 11, if I remember right. I mean, it's, when I saw it, I'm like, okay, people are gonna be hashtag mad online. Once again, they've got cause because 11 players voted him overrated. Just ridiculous. Who cares? You know what I do care about, speaking of football? That we now have restrictions on what Tom Brady is allowed to do to prepare for broadcasts and how he is to go about a broadcast. I'm sure you've heard the bad news that Brady is going to be in broadcasting, just refuses to leave us alone. And they said now he can't go to the coaches' meetings. You know how they do it? Guys fly in on like a Friday for a Sunday game, meet with the coaches. The coaches will tell them things that they won't tell everybody else. But the broadcasters keep whatever intel to themselves, and it helps them know what to look for on game day. So pretty simple, obvious process that apparently Brady will not be allowed to be a part of because he could end up being minority owner of the Raiders, which I guess is reasonable. And, you know, but also, like, it makes me think of tampering. You know, so, oh, this team tampered with the Eagles and Barkley. Or the Falcons and Cousins, tampering, whatever it consisted of, some, quote, illegal communication that was, you know, alleged to have happened. There are just so many ways around that, that, you know, common sense tells you it's probably not punishable. I mean, so Brady can't go to that meeting. He won't have any conversations with anybody then, because that's all banned. He just, I've... People disagree, including Bulldog. I'm immovable. I just refuse to believe he'll be good at it. He's so uninteresting to me. But okay, maybe if you get good information, like Romo's up there, I didn't have any idea if he'd be good at it, but then he shows up and he's like calling plays from the booth at the line of scrimmage. Not bad. And some of that would be what he learned from talking to coaches, you know, what they're looking for, what the defense will do when the offense lines up a certain way, all that good stuff. I mean, football is so ridiculously popular. Can you imagine how much more popular it could be if you got to know what the plays were supposed to be? If you got to know, if coaches ever told you what was supposed to happen on a play, I mean, once in a while after a game, Allen or somebody will say, well, I was looking for him, but this happened. So you can sometimes figure it out. But you almost never get to know the actual plan. And for me, like, I like to think about stuff that would make the game just that much more popular. So, I don't know. Brady's not allowed to go to these meetings where they tell him stuff, so he'll never find out anything. Okay. And another part of it was he won't be allowed to criticize officials. Just what you want from the booth, right? Just what you want. You want honesty, maybe a sense of humor, which seems like that can't happen in football usually, but that'd be nice. Sense of humor, be real, be honest, and tell me something I didn't know, which you think wouldn't be that hard. But a lot of guys maybe just sort of can't figure out how to get there. And, you know, I guess they don't need to because they're going to make $1 million a week in that job. You know, maybe that's generous. The top guys, I think, make that. They don't tell you something you didn't know. They're not funny. And I don't know, maybe they don't criticize refs anyway, because why would you do that? Why would you criticize anybody? If you had that job and, you know, your number one priority was to keep it, which I can respect, why would you criticize anybody? You wouldn't need to. You'd be discouraged from doing that. I'm not saying you have to be mean. I don't mean that at all. Just be honest. There are good plays and bad. And, you know, be nice if there were, for my taste, it would be nice if there was a little bit more willingness to be critical. But, you know, why would you do that? You wouldn't last. If you were too critical, they would get rid of you. But Brady's not going to be allowed to be critical at all. And he just doesn't seem the type to be critical of players. But we'll see, I guess. Yeah, I'm not excited for that. Great that there are. Who needed there to be restrictions on what announcers could say? We need the opposite. We need there to be more freedom. This is generally a good rule in life for everything. Stop putting restrictions on me. Watch what happens if you take them away. Just trust me. Trust me to be as a, you know, what am I even saying anymore? Just as my mind is going into different places, like, you know, parenting and such. We'll see. Maybe Brady will be fine. The problem I'm going to have being objective about Brady as an announcer is I know it's Tom Brady. So I'm not sure I'll ever be able to be objective about it. I just never liked him. It's not even because of his record against the Bills. Just, I don't know. Part of it is unfair to him in that he's like everybody's greatest quarterback ever. I mean, you can't even get a conversation going about that anymore. And this has been true for a long time. Starts piling up rings, and then he goes to Tampa and wins. So good. I'm not saying he wasn't great. So good, so great for so long. There's your best ever. It's like LeBron and Jordan a little bit, because when did we start having when was it all the time it seemed that, you know, TV talk shows were debating LeBron versus Jordan? Like 15 years ago, 10 years ago? And here's LeBron still playing at a high level. I mean, even at the Olympics, all these many years later, all right, enough. The Jordan crowd has to capitulate. So long of a career. And so some of that is Brady, but to me, it was always Peyton Manning, obviously a contemporary, because almost every year, if not literally every year of their careers, Manning had the better season. Manning won 5 MVPs. I mean, I think he gets thought of as a football player as somebody that sometimes came up short. That's, for a long time, that really was his reputation. Speaking of Allen and overrated and MVPs, maybe Peyton Manning was thought of as overrated for a while there. I don't know. By 11 players. Yeah, he was always better for me than Brady. Just, you know, he didn't have a better team sometimes. They lost to them in the playoffs against Belichick. That's understandable. And so rings, right? I mean, that's simply how we do it. Maybe that's why you end up overrated. If the most overrated player in the NFL would be the quarterback of a team that has come the closest the most often but lost. or but not one. Right? Hurts got there and lost. Allen, not to the Super Bowl, but to Mahomes. Could be just simply that. I don't know. I don't really have anything else to say about it. Time out for a break. Mike Shope here. Hope you're enjoying your early start to a Labor Day weekend. Bulldog rejoins me on Tuesday, and then it's Let's Go. Week one, Arizona at Buffalo a week from Sunday. This is WGR. Thinking about when Micah Hyde was on the show before his softball game this summer, and we talked about the upcoming season, you know, his status and the softball event, my sister threw out the first pitch, we talked about that. And at some point about the season, it was whenever, like July, early July maybe, he's like, I would just relax for a while. And I'm just thinking of that right now for this weekend. You know, thinking about football is fun. Talking about it is fun. We'll probably be with friends and family much of the weekend. This is what we'll do. But don't let it stress you out. Thinking of Micah Hyde. Hat tip to Micah Hyde for that one. What do we have this weekend? Golf is big. College football, of course, is big. With no NFL, we've got soccer. Oh, this is not this weekend, but the Champions League. So the Champions League draw came out. And it didn't make sense to me. It used to be groups of four, and teams would play the other three teams in their group twice, and then two or more would advance. I got used to that. Always seemed intuitive. Now there's this whole new system to the Champions League. You play across the different pools, and they just have a whole new format. So when that happened a day or two ago, I was confused, and I went looking into the Champions League, like, how does it work now? And so I clicked on one tweet, you know, where they've got the grid, and I'm thinking that as I read through down below, read the thread, somebody's going to bother to explain it. Instead, and I don't know, maybe someone did, but it seemed like every third tweet was somebody saying that it was fixed. And that's just, you know, ridiculous, right? Of course. Probably fans of the team, like Man City, it was about Manchester City, that, oh, well, again, of course, it's fixed for Manchester City. How many people just refuse to believe in randomness? How is it to live like that? Where you just, like, any sort of draw happens and it doesn't go your team's way, oh, well, it must have been fixed. I remember maybe the craziest one of these ever was when the Pittsburgh Penguins won the lottery for Crosby. And fans were like, not all, not many even probably, but you would hear from people like, well, it was fixed. Because the Pittsburgh Penguins are such a franchise that had to be given the best player, the best prospect in the sport. Sure, right, that made sense. Was the McDavid lottery fixed too? Because Edmonton, Alberta? I don't know. I can't imagine living like that. Just sort of like everything's a conspiracy. The Champions League draw, the hockey lotteries. I choose to trust them. That's my advice to you if you care. I would say, why not just choose to trust them? It's a happier existence. I talked to Sigmund Bloom. It took a minute, but we got it. We caught him. Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. Those of you who missed that and have fantasy drafts coming up, he's one of the very best. We had a great conversation. I'm sure you will like it. That's coming your way next here on this Labor Day Friday. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.